Not as big a receiver, though, obviously.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught. Kadarrell Hodge, 35, 30,
take it, baby.
20, 15, 10, 5,
bang.
Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarrell. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarrell Hodge and the Falcons. Good morning. He did it. Atlanta, this is the morning shift. I am Bo Morgan, Squid Billy, as you may know me. He is the All-American former teammate of Ring of Honors, Matt Ryan, and Todd Mud Duck McClure.
Roddy White. The list goes on.
Michael P. Johnson.
Yeah, man.
And hey, y'all know what? He's healthy, and he's wonderful, Michael. Wow, what a game last night. The Falcons, in overtime, beat Tampa Bay on Thursday Night Football to take control of first place in the division. They win it in overtime 36-30. And, Mike, I don't know where to start, but holy smokes, the offense, finally. How many games have we not broken the 30-point barrier? And we busted through it like the Kool-Aid man last night.
In the most shocking of fashions. In the most shocking of fashions, dude. I still, and what is it? I think it's been right at 6.5 hours since this game ended. I think it ended right around 11:35-ish last night. I know we
you
got
like
on
that.
Air for the.
You yeah. like that?
You do like that, dude.
I do, Kirk. I do.
There's no doubt about it. And before I go any further, phone lines will be wide open today. 404-726-0929. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, man. I don't even know which direction to start. I guess you can start with, the game-winning touchdown. We just heard the call of Wes and Dave last night. Obviously, that's your booth, and you're sitting right there between those two guys, man. But it sounded to me like Arch was ready to headbutt somebody. Man, I hope you took cover, because that dude looked like he was ready to freaking roll right off the top. And Wes, as always, with the classic call, Kadarrell Hodge in for Drake London, spins out of a tackle, accelerates, gets it done and runs away towards the end zone with the Falcon victory last night.
Well, that's where I'm confused. Well, yeah, Arch was on. He's on one last night. In fact, we'll get into some of the superstitions we had last night in the booth, which was immediate. Arch and I were losing our mind, and Wes did what he does so brilliantly, which is the controlled chaos call, where it's controlled excitement, right? He is excited, but he never breaks that play-by-play guy, and he can always finish a call perfectly. There were a lot of heroes last night.
to say the least.
It starts with a man who rudely broke Ring of Honor inductee on the night of his moment. Kirk Cousins breaks Matt Ryan's all-time single-game passing record, which was at 503, I believe, now at 509. He went off. But Drake London has 12 for 154. Darnell Mooney has 9 for 105. My guy, your guy, our guy, Kyle Pitts, has 7 for 88. And by the way,
had an explosive earlier. Ding.
He was phenomenal blocking last night. The best blocking game he might have had that I've seen in his career. But none of it is possible, and I say none, as in they don't win the game like they do if Drake London doesn't come out for Kadarrell Hodge. And Drake London gets hit hard. It looked like he took a shot to the ribs.
Yeah, for the second time on the night he had to come out.
Has to come out. And then, the play to Kadarrell Hodge where, I don't know if we have it, but I know Kirk said in an interview with Dave Archer last night, he goes, it's a bad route against man coverage. And what he means by that, Mike, and I want you to tell me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't a bad ran route. It's just a bad route to beat man coverage. But he says, forget it. I'm gonna drive it in there, and it just takes one missed tackle.
I loved that cut, and I said something to go for it. I said, man, what a complete U-turn we've done at the quarterback position talking about plays like that. Let's listen to it.
Drake doesn't get dinged up. Drake's in on that play, but man coverage is really not a great route versus man coverage, but I felt the corner off, and I thought I'll just drive it to him, and I felt the corner closing, and I thought it was going to be tight, and then the way he pulled out of it and did the rest himself, impressive play by him, and it shows why he's on our football team, but what a great way to finish.
Dude, the celebration that the video has been, I think it was tweeted out by the NFL, it's going viral a little bit, of Kadarrell Hodge walking into the locker room. Tweeted this out last night, man. It tells you everything you need to know about a dude like Kadarrell Hodge when his teammates react the way that they reacted when he walked in the locker room. Kirk walks in right in front of him, gives it a, you know, let's freaking go or something along those lines. And the anticipation of the rest of that team when Kadarius Hodge walks through the threshold of that locker room right in front of Arthur Blank, it's got to be one of the coolest moments of Kadarius Hodge's career, dude.
Yeah, I as you guys know, I'm down there, and we're in a room, just to peel the curtain back a little bit, we're in a room right beside it, I can hear it, but I can tell that they're waiting on something, and I'm waiting on Blaine Komet, who's my camera guy, who does, if you watch any of Fox 5's coverage, he's in there in the locker room with Arch and myself. And so I open the door on the outside, and I can see that they're waiting. I see Willie waiting. So I knew that Kirk and Drake were still out there, or excuse me, Kadarius. And then I see him coming, and the look on Kadarius' face as he walked by me coming off post-game interview to go right, and it was right before he went into the locker room. It's special, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, this is sports, but, you know, we talk about sports and what's real out there, and we've had a lot of realness going on in this world lately, especially our brothers in North Carolina, you know, up there, our neighbors. But this is something this man has worked for his entire life, and to have that moment, you just can't take it away. I mean, that'll always be his moment, and it was cool to see, and I mean, it's crazy because we watched him for 2 years in what seemed like purgatory in an Arthur Smith offense.
Yeah, I think, look, man, you've heard me say this a number of times. I as an offensive lineman, I say this all the time. I don't think you simply play offensive line. I just think that's a mentality that you just have, right? And to me, and of course I'm going to highlight this because, you know, that's kind of what it is. I think there's just a level of selflessness that comes with the fact that you're just going to do the grunt work, all right, and you're going to allow everybody else to shine. That's it. To me, Kadarius Hodge is like an offensive lineman that plays wide receiver, dude. And it's because he does the grunt work, does the special teams. He mentioned it a number of times, you know, in the interview with Arch, you know, just about how he kind of works for this. And everybody knows he's selfless. And I thought that was so cool to kind of be highlighted by that locker room celebration of how much it meant to the rest of the team that he was the guy doing the catch and run.
Yeah, I want to – the question has been all over – in Atlanta, and look, it's been rightfully so. What's wrong? What's wrong with the offense? Why haven't we seen? We got all these weapons. We got Bijan. We got Tyler Algier. You know, we've got Darnell, Drake, Kyle Pitts. Ray Ray is a guy. You know, where are our weapons at? Is our quarterback healthy? Well, I've told you all along he's healthy. I think he proved to you, everyone, that he was healthy. But he said something to Dave Archer in post game. And basically, the offense was unlocked, and Kirk Cousins is the reason and where he's at. And Josh Kendall went on with Dukes and Bell a couple of days ago. I thought he was brilliant. He said, Kirk's healthy. I just don't know if he's comfortable. Well, I think Kirk has answered, is he comfortable? And what is he feeling?
I think the big thing I felt tonight that was different was I'm starting to anticipate more. I'm starting to kind of feel like I know where guys are going to be before they go there, and that's helping me play faster, play a little more confidence, throw the ball a little more decisively, and I think that made a difference tonight. But it's just one of the many things where we're kind of improving each week.
Dude, and I love that you mentioned it, like a level of comfortability, because I think I think the offensive line played very, very well last night against a team that gives you a lot of fits from time to time in terms of the way they're going to attack the box. But I thought Atlanta's offensive line stepped up to the task last night and allowed him. Now, a lot of people are going to point to the sacks, and you and I talked about it earlier. Dude, when you're dropping back to throw 62 times and you have 58 pass attempts on the night, you're bound to get sacked at some point, especially when you have – an aged athleticism, we will call it right here. So I thought they did a great job of, you know, kind of keeping him comfortable back in the pocket, allowing him to step into his throws, although I know there's people out there on the socials who don't think he's stepping into his throws. Kadarius Hodge, though, man, to me, is still the man of the hour. I got to ask you this, and I'm curious if either Day-Day or Dylan were able to do this. Did you see the video after the game where he does, like, this video for the Falcons social? And I know there's people out there that saw this. And you can't see it on Twitter because the window's small, but when you open the whole video and you see this brawl going down in the background, there is some girl in the background of Kadarius Hodge's postgame video throwing haymakers in the first row of the bins last night. Kadarius Hodge is like, Yeah, we're in here.
He's crying. Hey, it's in tears here. Flowing down.
We're in here, baby. We did it. And in the background, some girl just drops the gloves like a freaking hockey game. It starts going over the top with some tomahawk chops on some lady.
All right, I want to make sure you guys 404-726-0929. Call us. How do you feel about last night? But also, I have got Drake London's numbers and Kirk Cousins' numbers. Their last two games against Tampa Bay are staggering. Staggering. And I know one of them wasn't here, but I mean, I think this needs to be talked about. But we are today, I don't care where we're at. I know it's only five games in. We're celebrating the fact that we've 2-0 against our two rivals, back-to-back wins, and we're in first place, baby.
Yeah. It's a Falcons Friday, man. We ain't looking ahead. We're celebrating. Sal brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Murr, Falcons talk on the other side of the break. Stick with us. The Morning Show, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
And Hodge stays on the field with Mooney and McLeod. Here's Cousins with pressure. He's going to launch, and Mooney hangs on. Touchdown, Atlanta, on a bullet from Cousins.
Let's go.
Yeah, that was a bullet, all right.
Let's go.
Hey, guess what? He stepped into that one, Atlanta. This is the Morning Show Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Squibbly Bo Morgan alongside the All-American former Atlanta Falcon national champion Michael P. Johnson.
You're about to get a headbutt. I'm feeling jacked up. I headbutted Dylan last night after the win in Tutty.
I think
he's shaking his head. He's like, man, I got knocked out.
Well, I got a shoulder jab from the quarterback.
Is that what happened?
You know, pull up the Hodge touchdown real quick. I want you guys to hear something.
A little frog in his throat at one point. Phone lines are open, by the way, 404-726-0929.
So I'll tell you something. As soon as the touchdown happened, like as when Kadarrell broke the tackle and he split it, I jumped straight up. I'm pretty sure. I had a little bit of a moment where I'm not sure what booth cam's going to show, but Arch has a moment in his call and his analysis of what happened. See if you can catch it. Let's hear it.
Not as big a receiver though, obviously.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught. Kadarrell Hodge, 35, 30,
take it, baby.
20, 15, 10, 5, bang. Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarrell. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarrell Hodge and the Falcons.
He looks at me as he says, are you serious? And I'm like,
he almost let it dig.
Tell you something, that's the excitement in that radio booth. You know, I've been in that booth for since 2012, and I've been with the network since 10.
It's a beautiful thing.
It feels like there's an explosion right now because we have been waiting for these moments, Mike, since Matt's been gone, really since 17, to win games like this, and we've won three of them like this, and man, it feels good. That's why I'm interested to see how everyone else out there is feeling.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, phone lines are wide open, 404-726-0929. Let's take a call. Let's go to our buddy Matt out in Covington. Matt, good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Falcons Friday. Hope you're enjoying the victory.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am, because today is my birthday. So
happy birthday, man. Happy birthday, Matt.
Appreciate it. But Bo said it, man. I think Bo said it earlier that he wanted to give a shout out to somebody special on the offense. I want to give a shout out to Darnell Mooney, man. Like, both Darnell Mooney and London had both over 100 yards. London had 150. Mooney had like 100 yards, and I believe both of them had a touchdown. And this is what I'm talking about. And if you go back and look, the way Ramin Morris and Kirk Cousins looked at each other at the end of the game, they both looked at each other and said, Morris said in his face, you are the guy and you are the reason why I brought you here in Atlanta. Let's go.
Let's go.
Nice. Love it, Matt. Hey, Matt, I got a number for you. You want to talk about Darnell. Yeah. Darnell played phenomenal. You want to talk about Drake?
Yeah. Let's talk about Drake.
Drake London's last two games, now one of which was Desmond Ridder throwing to him in this game, but last two games against Tampa Bay, he has caught 22 balls for 326 yards with a touchdown.
Ooh.
So I know Antoine Winfield was out, but he's not guarding Drake. They don't have an answer for Drake right now in Tampa Bay's secondary. Well, 326 yards and 22 catches in two games. I'll tell you something. Drake London, I think fourth fastest to 2,000 yards as an Atlanta Falcon receiver. I don't know what y'all need to hear, but Drake London has progressed into a hell of a player. He is, he's kind of got that, was it Mike Evans? Mike Thomas.
Yes.
In New Orleans.
Yes.
Where he wasn't burning you, but he was making every catch, contested or not. It reminds me of Michael Thomas' heyday with Drew Brees.
Yeah. Does such a good job coming back to the ball. And honestly, I think Drake London's done better this year of breaking tackles, getting up the field, trying to get to the sticks, and doing a number of other different things, man.
Yeah.
He seems like he's more complete now. Not that he hasn't been, but I can see the awakening coming from his relationship with Kirk Cousins and the timing that kind of comes from that. So it's been beautiful to watch.
And Darnell Mooney is that I think he's that guy that Kirk had. He has some great chemistry with Drake, but just the difference in who Drake and Darnell are. He has the same chemistry with Darnell and same trust, and it's allowing him to just turn it loose for these guys. He had to throw it to Darnell to get a first down, where Mike, he's on the, I think it was in the third quarter, everything he wants to do is on the right side, and I know that because Arch did a phenomenal job of breaking it down. It's not like I'm just trying to say I know everything. But everything,
you're not drawing it up on the whiteboard.
Everything he wants to do on the right side, in the last second, he's like, I got to get rid of this, and he looks over, and Darnell's running a bench or an out, whatever you want to call it. And he just unloads it, and Darnell had ran the throw, and Darnell's route broke him open, and it was another play where they moved the chains.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, the highlights are rolling on TV right now. I still can't believe that on 4th and 15, threw an interception with 1:45 left, and then here we are today talking about a Falcons victory. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's bring in Walker from Winder. Walker, good morning, man. Happy Falcons Friday.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Squid Billy, and good morning to the All-American Mike Johnson.
Let's go, baby. Let's go, Welcome in. Welcome in.
Dude, I got a couple things, but can we give Kirk Cousins credit for him going through his reads all night and that offensive line holding it down for him to be able to go through his reads?
Yeah, talk dirty to me, baby. Talk dirty to me. And, that's what I'm talking
and
about.
And also, the offense, how about the play with 1 second left to spike the ball, to call that gutsy play to go right down the middle, the offensive line hustling to the line to get up there to spike the ball with 1 second left to kick a field goal for Young Wiku. That was just amazing.
Yeah,
it's a really good point, and I want to add to that. You mentioned everyone in there, but one of the most important parts about that play is Drake to make the catch and to go down when he did, because he still had room, and your instinct in that play is to keep fighting, but the situational awareness to go down immediately – like he did, I think helped onto it. Arch and I talked before the game, and we talked on pregame as well with you and Chris Goforth. He talked about how Tampa will disguise their blitzes so well, and they're coming from everywhere. And I think that's a good point, that the offensive line was able to find it, pick it up for the most part, other than, you know, when Vita Vea gets on Bijan. But for the most part, pick it up, and gave Kirk enough time. And Kirk, his clock in his head was, I can't stick on these routes long. If it's not there, I got to move to the next read. I thought he did a really good job of that.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. There's a couple of things about the spike that I think that I want to point out. First and foremost, the real real MVP in this might be just straight up the referee that just touched the ball. I don't know if anybody did not see it last night, go back and watch the referee that is in charge of spotting the ball. And he's like, dude, I don't want to be part of the show. I'm simply going to touch this ball down. That's my spot, and I'm getting out of the way. The other thing is, and you and I slept here last night.
Yeah.
Because we got off so late, so I don't know if you were able to see this, but the interaction between Kirk Cousins and Ryan Fitzpatrick on the Amazon set last night.
I didn't get to see this.
Okay, so Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of asked him about how ballsy it was that you throw the slant right there at the end of the game with 12 seconds left. And Kirk says, you know, Zach Robinson gets my ear. He says, hey, we're going to go to the boundary. We're going to try to get what we can, and we're going to get out of bounds at the boundary. And then right before they're about to, put the play in, he goes, screw it. Throw the slant. Just last minute made the decision. Hey, I guess him and Raheem got together, said we can do it. Throw the freaking slant in the middle of the field. I thought to go forth about this last night as well. This is it. You know, when you see head coaches – and they create these situations in practice. Hey, you guys got a minute 20, two timeouts, right? And you practice the situations with the field goal team running on the field or clocking it, or you also have a four-minute mode where the quarterback is dropping back as much as he can and he throws it really high and tries to waste as much time as he can. I'm pretty sure, I'd have to go back and check, I'm pretty sure that the threshold for that, for when a head coach makes a decision that, hey, we can clock this fast enough. I'm pretty sure it's either 13 or 14 seconds. To where a head coach, when they look at their sheet, they say, hey, we actually have enough time to get down in bounds and clock this ball. I don't think it's – I'm pretty sure it's 14 seconds.
Well, Art said
– you're down to 12, and you're going, you know what, man, I think we can get it done.
And we talked about it on the broadcast. Art goes, not enough room for the middle. You've got to find something on the outside. And, you know, I just don't think they can get it done. And when they do it, it was just like – Wes looks at Arch, and I look at Arch because we all look, and all I hear is, wow. And it was because it was perfectly executed. It reminds me a couple years ago in college football when TCU goes on the undefeated.
Yeah.
That they're winning all those games.
Yep.
And Sonny Dykes says, screw it, I'll run the field goal team out there. I got plenty of time. And he goes, well, we practice it. He goes, we practice this every – we knew exactly how much time we needed. I also think that it's important to touch about – that's why Raheem is here, and that's why Zach Robinson is here. And we may have not had trust in everything that we've seen so far this year, but they've got the, as I like to call, the testicular fortitude
to
trust everything they've worked on and their players. And I don't know if a lot the old school thinking doesn't always, you know, play to that. It's play it safe.
Aggressive, right. Aggressive decision making. Not play calling, aggressive decision making and play calling. And look, man. We'll continue to roll on this Falcons victory Friday. And I had that thought, Bo, and you're going to love it. It's an imperfect team, but it's my imperfect team, right? And this team's got some things to work on. But, boy, they're a gritty group, dude. A gritty group of dudes.
Keep your phone calls coming.
Yeah.
We're going to get to more of
these. Stay on the line.
But also, at some point, I'm going to get to Kirk Cousins numbers I thought about. But yeah. I can't go any further, Mike. I cannot go any further in this show. Without eating crow. I was very hard on one player this week because I felt like they deserved it, the tough love, and their flowers are coming.
Mm. Nick and Gwinnett will be getting to you next when we get back on the other side of the break. Stick with us, man. It's the morning shift on a Victory Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live here on the morning shift. Me and Squid Billy. Team No Sleep, baby. You thought you were going to get rid of us last night. We ain't going nowhere. We're in your speakers this morning. We're talking about a Falcons victory Friday. The Falcons went 36-30 in overtime last night in primetime. What a night, Bo. What a night.
I'm watching the condensed film on my iPad of the game, and I just saw the Kadarius Hodge touchdown. And, I mean, it sneaky fast because when he breaks the tackle and he steps his foot on it.
Yeah, he was ready to go.
There's like $5 that converge right there, and none of them could get the angle on him. And it's a great run after catch. It's something that you and I talked about last year.
Say it again, dude.
The word yak. And and I know y'all are familiar, but just in case you got your youngin' in the car, I'll explain it for him. Yak is yards after catch. So the yards you gain running with the ball after you catch it.
Yes.
And it's been and we talked last year when we didn't have Darnell Mooney. And we didn't know what we were getting from Kyle. And we said, man, I think we both thought that if we could get Kadarius Hodge running the right routes, which we didn't really have a lot built into that offense, it felt like last year,
yes,
that he could be a guy to get a lot of yak. And Kadarius talked about the fact that they make fun of him because you're so slow. Darnell Mooney said it in his pressers, like, you see how slow he was running? But he was running just fast enough to beat an entire second. The 5 to 6 guys in that Tampa Bay defense, not named Vita Vea.
Yeah, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We're going to continue to talk about Kirk Cousins. We're going to give Kyle Pitts and all the other players their flowers. We'll also talk about the sequence of events coming up at the top of the hour. You'll hear Kirk Cousins talking to Dave Archer. For right now, though, let's go back to the phone lines and let's get to our buddy Nick over in Gwinnett. Nick, good morning to you, man. Happy Falcons Friday. Thanks for calling.
Man, happy Falcons Friday to y'all. This is the representative of Squid Nation out here in Grayson, Georgia.
Let's go!
Just want to let y'all know that the Falcons are back. Kirk Cousins is the real thing. For him to be able to throw that interception, to go out there and sit on the sidelines and get back out there and get it done is just unbelievable. And man, I'm just fired up.
Yeah.
I'm with
you. We're fired up too, man. We had to tell Dylan. Yeah, man. Thanks, buddy.
You.
I had to tell Dylan during the break. I'm like, dude, if I'm too amped up, tell me to tone it down. But I can't help it, man. I still, we're going on 6 hours or whatever it is, 7 hours since the end of the game. I still feel like I could run through that door.
I just told Day-Day I feel free. And he says, what do you mean? And I said, well, I feel like an eagle flying across the United States with AirPods in, and it's Freebirds playing. But it's not like any regular – it's the Play It Pretty for Atlanta version where the solo is really long, and the solo is just playing on loop. That's what I feel like right
now. Let's get to one more call real quick, and then I got a question for you. But first of all, let's go to our buddy Troy over in Atlanta. Troy, good morning, man. Happy Falcons Friday.
Hey, man, happy Falcons Friday, man. Squid, I love you. I've always wanted to say this. Let's go, Mike Mafioso. Ah! I've always wanted to say that, man.
Well, I don't know why you chose violence. Troy, why'd you choose violence this morning? We're in celebratory.
I don't know. I've always wanted to say that. But, man, let me tell you, man, I'm so happy, man. We gave Kirk all that money. Kirk showed out. Mm. And the best thing about it is after the game, not even after the game, fourth quarter, when they thought the game was lost, I got on Facebook because I'm a NFC South Facebook fan group, and the Saints were hating on us so bad. Oh, my gosh, they were hating on us so bad. And some guy posted, oh, Bucks, thank you for humbling the Falcons fans. And all the Falcons fans got on there and was like, this did not age well for you, man.
Roasted him.
It did not age well for
you. I love it, man. Hey, thanks for the call, Troy. Yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing. It's the first place Atlanta Falcons will be celebrating all day today. I want to ask you this question, and I know that you got to give some flowers out. I said this on the pregame, and I tweeted it, that the last 13 primetime games for the Atlanta Falcons, 13-0 was the under going into yesterday. Obviously, that didn't happen. I don't know, and I said this to you earlier, I don't know that I've had a complete change in direction about a unit the way I do this offense from last week to this week. Last week, I just was like, dude, this offense is hopeless. Like, I don't know that we're ever going to get going. And this week, you just have Kirk Cousins throw for a freaking franchise record, 509 yards. I don't know what happened, but I'll tell you this. I've never felt more differently in a one-week span than I do about this offense, dude.
I mean, unbelievable. You had two guys go well over 100, and you had another guy right at the cusp of it. You want to talk about Kirk Cousins real quick?
Let's talk about him.
His last two times he's played Tampa Bay. Now, I know one of those was with Minnesota to start the season last year. Doesn't matter. His last two games against Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles' defense, 79 for 102, 853 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He took 6 sacks, 4 of which last night. 853 yards in 2 games against Tampa Bay's defense. And one of those was completely healthy because that was week 1 last year. That is phenomenal, guys. And now I know they were missing Antoine Winfield. Well, hell, we were missing Troy Anderson. We were missing Drew Dahlman. So we're missing guys too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're also missing D. Alford after 7 minutes in the game.
That's right.
Which was crucial to
and
me.
And we missed our number one, what many would believe our number one receiver on the most important play of the game, which was the last play. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But Kyle Pitts, and I've been at it with you guys on the socials, and because I'm a Kyle Pitts guy. I've watched him ever through college, and I have not liked what I've seen. I didn't like what I saw last week. But he walked out there today, last night, and he was a man on a mission.
Yeah.
A man on fire. And from the get go,
he was a little upset with the whispers out there.
Well, it wasn't whispering for me. I was loud and clear.
I think that we had every right to be. And I mentioned this to Goforth last night, and I know you'll continue, but I had to say this. I mentioned this to Goforth last night. The alternative storyline about Kyle Pitts last night. Think about if this happens. If there's a big drop, or if Kirk is not coming to him early in this game, and let's just say the Falcons and everything starts slipping away, right? There is a good chance that at some point yesterday, because of the mounting frustration in Kyle Pitts' corner, that he just becomes so frustrated that he kind of clocks out, right? Becomes less involved, that you don't see the grit and the attitude and the effort moving forward. And yet, you get an explosive from him early. The defense, the way they were playing him, allowed him to kind of utilize his skill set, some of the underneath stuff, some of the zone, and he gets rolling, and all of a sudden, it just feels like you plugged Kyle Pitts right back into the outlet,
yeah.
And he came back to life all of a sudden.
He's like a Tesla, went too many miles and couldn't find an outlet station. Finally, you told him.
I don't know why you went with Tesla. I was like, man, he just needed a little gas. Oh, well, just needed to fire it up.
You said he plugged him in, and I mean, yeah, you don't plug in a gas. All right, you know that first route he ran last night? You know why it looked so great and you had a little bit? Because he ran it aggressively and he ran it crisp, all right? And it was a sharp route. he did a good job of finding the zone, the holes in their zone last night with what they were doing, because they're bringing five guys a lot.
Yeah.
And that's where their defense is. He also, though, he was physical in his run and pass blocking, and he was chipping at times. He played his most complete game. I am so proud of the effort we saw last night. We get that week in and week out with the anticipation that that Kirk has, and Kyle's going to get a lot of yards. There was a throw last night where the defender never turns his head, and Ray-Ray is on the sideline there, and Kirk just loops it over the defender's head, and Ray-Ray
it's
turns
timing.
Around backwards and like, oh,
it's timing.
Blank.
Yeah, I know exactly
that's
what you're talking about. Where he
I'm going to catch it.
Kind of backs out
yeah.
of bounds.
Yeah,
no,
it was a great play.
And that was honestly my – well, what's different in the passing game? You know, what's the biggest takeaway? First of all, I think the way they were choosing to attack, kind of going with zone coverage at times. They're obviously, you're always going to blitz a lot in a Todd Bowles defense. And they got home a couple of times. All right, but it was like a volume passing day, obviously, from Kirk. And I can't say enough about the freaking timing. The timing, man. Like, so many times that Kirk, in stride, gets to his hitch, makes his read, delivers the ball, and it's before that guy even comes out of their break. And Drake London, Kyle Pitts, all these guys are turning around and catching this ball, and they're able to, because of that separation, make a move, gather up a little yak, and create explosive plays.
I think it's a lot of it's an understanding of what they're doing on defense. And then the other half is the trust, and your guys know what they're doing, and they're running the right. They're making their breaks at the right time. The timing was impeccable last night.
Yeah. Hey, G Money and Kennesaw and Leanne and Dekula will be coming to you. Phone lines are wide open. 404-726-0929. Stick with us. It's the morning shift. It's a Falcons Friday.
Rise up.
Rise up, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I caught it, and I seen space, and I just didn't look back. I'm saying end zone or nothing right now. Take advantage of opportunity, man. I'm like I said, I'm still in awe. I'm soaking it all in right now. I'm just so grateful.
I'm so grateful, too. End zone or nothing, baby. Welcome back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Home of, wait for it, Bo, your first place, Atlanta Falcons.
Say it again for the people in the back.
Gosh, that feels good to say. Your first place. Atlanta Falcons. Me and Bo feel like a couple dogs off the leash this morning.
Hey, what? I told you. I'm an eagle flying across the country.
I'm chasing that mail truck down the street. I done found my way out the fence. You know what I mean?
You would describe yourself as a dog when I describe my spirit animal is the eagle, bald eagle. But you remind me of kind of a like a basset hound running around.
Oh, man.
Catching a scent.
He ain't gonna do me like that.
I know.
More like a Weimaraner. You know what I mean? Something like that.
You don't think you're a bull mastiff?
A little cow lick right in the middle. look, man, I said this to you during the break. We have so much stuff to talk about. I don't even know if it's possible. I'm sitting there going through my head and going, got to go through this, got to go through that, got to talk about Youngway, got to talk about this defense at some point, unfortunately. Got to talk about Matt Ryan. But I do think, to your point, you want to talk about this series of events there at the end of the fourth quarter that led to them even being able to get to overtime.
Yeah.
And a couple of people to give a tip of the cap to.
Well, we're kind of hung up on the drive to tie it, and then we win the coin toss, and then we're hung up on the big day from our offense and the 500 yards. And the defense had a forgettable day in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they did.
However, there was a sequence that happened I think is extremely important. The Tampa Bay is icing the game, and they're in field goal range. And Jesse Bates, he punches out. Bruce Irving takes off on the left tackle, and he's got a 7-yard gain. And Jesse Bates, as he's going through there, and someone has kind of stood him up a little bit, and Jesse just, punches that ball out.
Second time in the game he had punched one out,
yeah,
too.
And this time you jump on it, and you get the turnover.
Yeah.
However, you go three and out. Well, you essentially go four and out, and you throw the pick, which was like a bad punt, and they get the ball back. And Mike, I want to go through this sequence because the very first play, James Smith Williams does a great job of getting some penetration, and Justin Simmons and he make a tackle for a loss.
Yeah,
and they get you for a 3-yard loss. The next play, Graham Barton, the rookie center from Duke.
Yeah, from Duke.
Holds David Onyemata. You know why he holds him? Because Onyemata broke free.
Because he got whooped. That's why.
Holds him. Now you got second and 23.
Yeah.
The very next play, they run a little a screen pass, and Caden Ellis and Justin Simmons. Don't think so. Mm. Not happening.
Mm.
And,
boy.
And they lose two on that. The final play on that drive, Lorenzo Carter, I mean, dominates and sets the edge, allows time for he and it's him. He basically sets the edge on that and butts to it. I think Justin Simmons got in on that too. So they lost 15 yards, and they have to punt.
Yeah.
They could have kicked a long field goal, but they didn't want to give the ball right there.
Yeah.
So they punt.
What you're trying to tell me is the defense, when it mattered, they were able to rise up.
They did, in fact, rise up. But I think it's important to mention that because the offense, they gave the offense a chance, and they did nothing.
Well, and you got to mention this in the same breath. It's complimentary football, right? The offense was able to, for the first time all year, win time of possession, and they won it by 6 minutes last night. That was able to keep Tampa's offense off the field. And look, that's what you have to do sometimes when that offense is rolling from the other team.
I still don't think it was complimentary football last night.
Okay.
Because I think yeah, they're at the very end. But I think for three quarters, your special teams probably had its worst of the performances so far this year. And because Koo missed a couple of kicks. He had a block, and he missed one.
Yeah, that's
rough.
Then
he got two tries at.
That's rough.
The kickoff returns were brutal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They were getting and the defense, for the most part, just did not play well. Their best game. But in the end, when it mattered, you had a 5 minute to 7 minute span of complimentary football where you did make the kicks you needed. You did get defensive stands and make fumbles when you needed. So
Timing. It
wasn't a complete game, again, of complimentary football. But when you needed it the most, you did play it. I'll give you that.
You'll hear Kirk Cousins talking to Dave Archer coming up in our quarterback report here in about 2 minutes. Before then, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's bring in G Money from Kennesaw. Hey, G Money, appreciate you hanging on, man. What's going on? Happy Falcons Friday.
Hey, rise up, man. Listen, man. Hey, look, my son is an old lineman and a D lineman at Pace Academy, so I got to roll with the Mike Murphy.
Yeah! Oh!
I just love he's playing that two way go like Travis Hunter.
Let him eat, G Money. Yeah. Let him eat, baby.
Hey, yes, sir. So I understand them trenches, man. Shout out to Hodge for picking the team up because Mooney dropped the ball hit him right in the number one.
Brutal.
And he dropped it.
Brutal.
And he was on the sidelines beating himself up.
Mm.
Kirk Cousins, interception. Mm. They beating themselves up. And then Hodge just came in. And when I tell you he caught that ball, he was not – if he needed 100 yards, he was going to get all 100 last night. Nobody was catching him, and the top came off the dome. You understand me? Hey, listen, man. Shout out to Jesse Bates for the peanut Tillman punch. He was punching all night. All night. Hey, man, this is the team that we signed up for. This is what we expected. And I think it's more to come with this roster that they have. We can expect this all year.
Yes, sir.
Great call, G-Money. Yes, I don't care if you are Mike's Mafia. Real quick, to his point, though, that drive, they ran Algier for a yard, and then it's literally it's Drake, and then it's Kadarrell, and they're almost all the exact same route, same area of the field, and their runs after catch. He saw a matchup. He saw that route where he liked, and he even said he didn't like the route that when he knew he was getting man at Kadarrell.
Not great against man.
But he said, I'm going to drive it in there because there was something he saw that he felt confident about.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Kirk Cousins driving it in there, he visited with our very own Dave Archer after the game. Let's hear it now.
It's pretty rude of a guy to throw for 509 yards with the guy that holds the record in the building watching you play. He predicted you were going to bring him back to win. Tell me about it.
Oh, man, I didn't expect to pass any of Matt Ryan's records, really. He's done so much for so long. His consistency over so many years, it was an obviously no-brainer to be in the Ring of Honor. And it was a fun night. It was a fun night. What a great atmosphere here in our home stadium. And loved the way we finished. Loved being able to find a way and show character and get a win.
Yeah, and you started fast too, Kirk. Tell me, there's been so much conversation outside the room, and I know you guys aren't listening to that, and you guys are probably working through some things yourselves, but the offense just caught stride in this game. You felt like you're working on all cylinders.
Arch, you know as a former quarterback, I think the big thing I felt tonight that was different was I'm starting to anticipate more. I'm starting to kind of feel like I know where guys are going to be before they go there, and that's helping me play faster, play a little more confidence, throw the ball a little more decisively, and I think that made a difference tonight. But it's just one of the many things where we're kind of improving each week.
You threw a ball tonight to Mooney down in the red zone, and he makes a catch for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I said on radio, I said, there's nothing about that read that would take him there. How do you trust to make that throw?
It was a little aggressive. I mean, I think I'll watch it and say, yeah, I don't want to live like that all the time. I felt the backside safety approaching. I felt the mic. I just thought, you know what? I don't have much else here. There's no vertical grass for them to defend. I can rip this in here, and it's going to be a tough catch, but he can do it. And he made me right, and it's great to put that on tape.
You told me that was coming. The trust of guys. You were able to get to Kyle Pitts. Kyle, kind of proved himself to go get the football for you. Drake, Mooney. Kadarrell Hodge?
Yeah.
How much did you throw in the ball to Kadarrell Hodge? You rip one down the seam to him, and then you throw the game winner.
If Drake doesn't get dinged up, Drake's in on that play. But man coverage is really not a great route versus man coverage, but I felt the corner off, and I thought I'll just drive it to him, and I felt the corner closing, and I thought it was going to be tight. And then the way he pulled out of it and did the rest himself, impressive play by him, and it shows why he's on our football team. But what a great way to finish.
Do you get in games like this where you know Baker comes in pretty hot, and I don't think you evaluate the quarterback? He's played well. He played well tonight. Do you anticipate that it's going to be one of those kind of games where you're going to have to light it up?
You never know, but not with the way our defense has been playing. I expected it to be a bit of a slugfest, but you could tell, as we got in the second quarter that, okay, we have to score some points tonight, move the football up and down to have a chance. And, we still probably left a lot out there, but we made it, the plays when it counted. But it helped to be on the field. I mean, we had 81 plays.
Yeah.
Just a lot of at-bats. And when you do that, you give yourself more chances to spread it around.
Yeah, you did a great job tonight. Hey, go get you some rest, will you?
Yeah, the long weekend helps. It's fun after a big win like this to have a long weekend, and we'll get rested up. And then got to keep our foot on the gas because there's so much football left ahead.
Is there something that – I'm glad you took me there, because week five, you got two back-to-back wins in division, emotional wins, young football team.
Yeah.
I think Raheem gave you guys a couple of days off.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly do you have to get grounded in this deal, flush this out of your system, get ready for Carolina?
Yeah, we show character tonight, but part of having character is the ability to bounce back, win or loss, and be consistent. We're talking about the start of this interview, Matt Ryan's career, how consistent he was. It's hard to do. And, we got to be consistent week in and week out, that we're not a different football team and we're up and down. We got to be a consistent football team regardless of the previous week's outcome. So we got a great chance next week on the road to show – that we can respond coming off a big win.
Thanks for tonight, man. It's fun to watch.
Thanks, Arch. Appreciate you.
Yeah, that was Arch right after the game with Falcons quarterback Kirk Cousins in the locker room on Falcons Radio Network. Mike, real quick, when he said that, I'm standing there. I'm obviously in the room with him for my duties with the network, and he said that about anticipation.
Mm.
And I just all this garbage and these trash narratives that I've heard, even people that I'm very close to say, "Oh, I just don't think he's healthy. I don't think he's healthy," and there's no basis on it. He showed last night that he was never not healthy. He's throwing off his back foot point. He's driving into the ball. But the reality of the situation is he said it right there. He said, I have that anticipation where these guys are going to be now. Whatever needed to click, clicked in his head, in the pocket with this group of guys, with this offensive line, and it's offense and what Zach Robin wants to do, and it is all go now.
Yeah, I don't know if you also caught the other word that he had in there, because it kind of goes back to this. How about him saying he put Darnell Mooney up to bat, and he figured, I can drive that one in there. So let me say it again. I can drive that one in there. I can drive.
You want to talk about, right? He also drove the ball to Kadarrell Hodge because Hodge runs this route and curls in and comes back. And Zion McCollum, the DB, tries to jump the route.
Yeah, he did.
And he threw it through it.
Real quick, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's hit up Leanne and Decula. Appreciate you hanging on. Happy Falcons Friday. Leanne, you with us?
I am still with you guys. I've been on hold 34 minutes.
Let's go, baby. Hey, you're up. You're up. You're live right now. Let's do it.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are y'all?
We're good. How are you? Are you excited?
Let's go.
Of course I am. I'm telling you, this win was going to depend on my attitude going to work this morning. I stayed up watching a game during halftime. I was downstairs, and I said, now, if they start losing, I'm cutting the TV off, right? So went upstairs trying to be quiet because honey was asleep. So we got down to the fourth quarter. I'm like, okay, the interception kind of bothered me a little bit. But I said, you know what? That hard Falcons fan, I'm going to be in it to the end, right? Hodges made my night, literally made my night. I was so excited. I'm so proud of these guys. I am definitely a Falcons fan. Mm. Grady Baby all day long. Mm. So I'm going to make it quick because I got to get to work because I'm already late.
Hey,
so guys, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, we appreciate
Leanne,
you hanging
thanks,
on, Leanne.
Thanks for hanging on. We appreciate your listening to us. Hey, can I say something, though?
Yeah.
I really resonated with something she said there. That game last night affected my attitude coming into work.
There ain't no doubt about that, man. Hopefully it's going out over the airwaves. It's a Falcons Victory Friday, man. We got to get to break this hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. If you're on the line, stay on the line. Dexter and Covington will be coming to you next. More Falcons talk on a Falcons Victory Friday. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Snap spot, kick is away by Koo, and it is good! How about one of those other delay of game flags?
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. The home of your first place Atlanta Falcons. Can we talk about that for just
that's
a second?
Yeah, because I want to go into that because I had multiple attempts. My phone starts lighting up. What's Raheem doing? Bad coaching. My buddy Jorge hits me up in our group chat, our golfing. He goes, bad coaching by Raheem. How do you take a delay there? And I said, I wrote him back. I said, hey, man, I love you to death. You're wrong. You're wrong. And
now,
I said,
are you watching on the GameCast? Like, can you see?
Well, I think he was watching at our clubhouse. I think he was at a bar.
Jeez.
But and it was MGA night, so he was probably about 12 deep. But I said, dude, they stood. The ref stood there at the ball and wouldn't let him hike it. And they don't push back the play clock.
It wasn't even like that he stood there and then got out at the last minute. Like, no, he never moved, dude. Like,
yeah,
he never moved.
And then the ref that called it is the one that's standing under the field goal post to judge if it's good or not.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And Ron Torbert, who, going to give him credit, I thought Ron Torbert, and they missed some calls last night, but I thought they did a good job of when there was a call, huddling up and making sure everyone saw the same thing.
It's a good point. Yeah, a couple of picked up flags.
And I thought they did a really good job of that. However, you got to move. What are you doing? They had all their guys on the field. You know, they were only supposed to hold the play and give the defense time to match the substitutions.
Yeah. So much to get to. It almost feels like we don't have time today. And like I said, we're going to get to some Matt Ryan stuff later in the show. But, man, we're still riding the wave, man. Me and Bo are just a couple of dogs off the leash. Still feeling the energy from last night. Both of us slept here last night. I got done with postgame, Dylan, about 145, something like that. Yeah, 140. Dylan also burning the midnight oil. Look, man, but we got a lot to get to. Let's go back to the phone lines real quick. Let's head to our buddy Dexter in Covington. Dexter, appreciate you holding on, man. Happy Falcons Friday.
Man, what a Friday it is, big dog. Listen, I'm down here. I'm still cooking. I'm putting the last steak on the grill right now, man, at the dome. I'm trying to finish up eat, man, because that game right there just had me on edge. I couldn't even eat until that game was over.
Well,
but, man,
I'm gonna be
real with y'all, man. That was one of the best comebacks, that overtime. Look, Tampa ain't no slouch. I don't care who they were missing. Them boys still came out and played. But them Falcons, man, that red and black, bro. Look, man, I just can't believe it, y'all, but I talked a lot of junk on my Facebook page last night because they be waiting for me to chime in. But I ate all those doggone words last night, man. I ain't going to tell you no lie. But that game kept me up all last night, and I love it. Great job, my birds, man. And let's keep rocking, y'all. That's all we can do, baby.
Thanks,
let's
Dexter.
Keep rocking right there, man. I absolutely love that. I love that, man.
He said he's right. There are no slots. That was the
I think that's lost in the weeds today, man. We haven't talked about it. Tampa's a good team.
They were the ninth best scoring defense in the league. They're coming off a six-sack performance where they dominated a pretty good team in Philadelphia, I think, a very good team in the trenches. But they're only allowing 19.5 points. You flip it, your offense was only scoring 18.8 per game. That was 22nd in the league. That's not very good. You doubled it up last night.
Let's
and that's
go.
The first time I Day-Day, maybe pull the schedule the last couple years. When's the last time the Falcons scored 30 points? Because I know it's been at least two seasons. It's at least two seasons. At the
very few and far between under Arthur Smith after Matt Ryan left the building. Look, man, we're still riding the wave. The energy is abound around the city. Everybody's kind of just feeling good after that Falcons victory last night. Let's go back to the phone lines. James in College Park. James, thanks for holding on, man. Rise up.
Hey, man, rise up, baby.
Let's
so
go.
Let me tell you to check this out. I done been to a lot of Falcons games, including division and conference at Super Bowl in the last two in the Georgia Dome. And I got to say, I was in the Dirty Bird last night, and there was about 3 Bucks fans on that first row and about 2 behind me, and everybody else was Falcons fans where I was at.
Mm.
When Kirk threw that interception, and it was about 1 minute, 40 seconds on the clock, we had 3 timeouts. I told everybody, I said, hey, now, don't get too excited. We still got through. They going to run it. And when they happened and when they scored, like G-Money said, but the top came off the dome, man. I just want to say, Big Squid Billy Nation, rise up.
Yeah.
Buddhist man.
Yes. Let's go. What a perfect call.
Nobody before I joined the nation.
What a perfect call.
Oh, man, great job. No, I'm with him. I can I be honest, though, and I'll answer James?
I wish you would be.
I
don't want you to lie to me.
I think that I was probably in that boat of a lot of people last night. As soon as you throw the pick, I'm mad. I know that our own Carl Dukes put out a tweet last night. I did this a couple weeks ago, but it was like, man, what a missed opportunity. Like, that was I had a sick feeling in my stomach. It's like, what a missed opportunity. We finally get an offensive explosion where Kirk goes off, and yet we can't stop anybody defensively, and you can't get timely first downs when you do get the ball back at the last minute. I was sick, man. I was sick, and then obviously Raheem Morris knows he's got the timeouts and is able to kind of pull it out there at the end.
It's a little bit natural. I mean, you know, it's so I have to jump down and get to the locker room pretty quickly. So when he throws the pick, I just put my chart up, my flip card, I put my notes up, I put my binoculars up because, I mean, I need to get down there. If they get a first down, the game's over. They ice it, right? If they don't. And then we get the field goal from Koo. I got to bring everything back out because I don't know how long overtime. And I still got a spot for my guy Wes. But the, you know, they were excited. We had a lot of fun. Baker Mayfield played great. He still only threw. Dude, this is amazing right here. You're gonna look at me and say there's no way. Baker Mayfield only threw for 180 yards last night.
I saw that stat during the post game, and I had the same reaction you did. I was like, dude, it doesn't even seem like that's possible. And you outgained him by, 200 yards, as far as an offense goes?
Yeah.
It doesn't
like
seem
that
real because it felt like at times that they were just unstoppable.
They ran for another 160, but these are the numbers that we've been asking for. Real quick, these are the numbers we've been asking for. Third down, you were 6 of 14. Not great, but 43. It's 42.9%. I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, it's an uptick. It's definitely better.
Time of possession. You ready for this one?
Sure.
We've been averaging 24 minutes.
Talk to
me. Take a quick guess of what you thought. Just throw a number.
33.
Are you staring at the sheet?
You're talking about a guy that does the post game. I looked at this 2 hours.
33 minutes and 37 seconds. You beat them by literally 5 minutes and 59 seconds, right at 6 minutes. That you also, before we get to the call, you ran 81 plays last night. You've been running like 50.
It's crazy. Like, that's like, yeah,
that's like 3 or 4 possessions.
That's a solid 30 more than you've been running. Let's go back and get one more call in real quick. Daryl from McDonough. Daryl, appreciate you holding on, man. Rise up.
Rise up, baby. All hail the Squid Nation.
That's right. Let's go. Rise up.
I know that no Dylan's doing this on purpose.
Good morning, Big Mike. Also, hey, guys, it was a lot that happened in the game, but at the last end, Tampa Bay coach got out coached. We had 3 timeouts left, and they were playing, trying to run out the clock. But what happened, Tampa Bay got away from their star players, Godwin and Evans.
Yep.
They did not try to use them, and everything happened negative toward them. But I just want to give a shout-out to Mr. Arthur Blank. Did y'all see how happy he was?
Yes, I did.
Hey, man, have
a
great day.
That's a great call.
Yeah,
a phenomenal point. It was just an unbelievable night. And I got to say this, too. They continue as a stadium ops staff to do stuff that nobody else in the NFL is doing. And I'm talking about, like, from top to bottom. The lights, the red panda. Mm-hmm. Like, they. I mean,
how about Freddie? How about Frey the Falcon?
They're doing things at a higher level, and I hope people out there understand what this franchise is doing in that realm.
I know we're playing the music. You told a story earlier about what Kirk Cousins said about the last drive to tie the game, which Zach Robinson makes a ballsy of ballsy calls. Yeah. Tell that real quick.
He said it on with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the show last night on the postgame. He said, Zach Robinson said, hey, we're going to throw the out here along the sideline, try to get as much as we can and get out of bounds. At the last minute, he says, you know what, man? Throw the freaking slant. Let's go get this thing.
And give Drake and Kirk and the offensive line credit for getting down, getting that ball set, and spiking it to get Coos game tire.
Hey, coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a little bit more about those first place Atlanta Falcons. Dylan will host Fair or Foul Friday on Mic'd Up.
It's Falcons a version edition.
A Falcons Fair or Foul Friday. Let's freaking do it.
Can I give you a quick teaser on one of them? Don't answer it. Just think about it.
Okay. All right.
The game last night goes into the category of instant classic. One of the questions on Fair or Foul Friday.
Fair or Foul Friday. I think I can answer that one right off the top. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I wouldn't say like we're comfortable. I mean, I would like to chill in the fourth quarter at some point, but you know, I think it goes to back to the mentality of just don't blink. We all want to win. We're all competitors, and that's what it just boils down to at the end of the day.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your home of your first place Atlanta Falcons after what I'm going to call an extremely eventful night last night down at the Benz, man. Matty Ice night, his son's over there doing the train horn to start. Just a cool primetime event going on at the Benz last night, and the Falcons continue to show up late in games.
Yeah, it was cool to see Matt, and we got a chance, and you'll hear it in Life of Squid, some of the cuts that he had with Wes and Arch. It was cool to see Matt before the game. And he sat down with those guys. It was great. Joe just said it in his update. Joe Patrick, who covers the Falcons, by the way, if you don't follow him, go to Twitter. He is our guy up there every day at Falcons camp, along with obviously Dave Archer. He said statistically the hardest schedule to this point the Falcons have faced. Well, I just did it. The Steelers are 3-1.
Yep.
The Eagles are 2-2. The Chiefs are 4-0. The Saints are 2-2, and the Bucs fell to 3-2. 14-7 is the combined record of the teams that you've played. You're 3-2. If I'd have told you that you'd be 3-2 after five games, and 2-0 in the division, and 3-0 in the conference, would anybody not take that?
Not only would I have taken it, but I don't think if you would have told me that I would have understood how good these teams are that we're actually playing, especially New Orleans and Tampa the last couple of weeks. Very, very good football teams.
Tampa dog-walked Philadelphia last week.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they beat them physically to the point where you and I looked at that film and said, it didn't look like Philadelphia gave their best effort. I don't know. Maybe they did, but Tampa beat them handily last week, and last night was just as good of a game as you're going to see on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Tell you what, if all Thursday Night Football games are that, I'll take more of them.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, Smart, Lasting, Clean. Before we get to Mic'd Up, just want to tell you 92.9 The Game is teaming up with Support Now for the Helene Assist to help those impacted by Hurricane Helene. Join us in supporting the Haywood Schools Foundation by donating today. Head over to 92.9thegame.com and give what you can, man. Let's hit a Fair or Foul Friday. Dylan, you're up. Don't mess up my segment, man. Let's roll.
I'll try to do it justice, Mike Johnson, because you always do a great job. So I'm gonna try and come with that super hot fire.
Let's do it, man.
All right.
What you got?
Let's start with this. This Fair or Foul. This was the Falcons' best win of the season so far. Now, maybe you're thinking it was the Eagles game. Defense maybe played a little bit better. And the Falcons obviously turned it up when they needed to offensively. But last night just seemed different. So, fair or foul, this was the Falcons' best win of the season so far.
Yeah, and look, man, you try to steer away from recency bias. You try to steer away from offense bias because you always love seeing the points scored. You got to remember that the defense has had a couple of games where they absolutely stood up to the task. But I think you answered so many questions, although you developed a couple other ones last night. You answered so many questions, Bo, and I said it earlier. It's a flawed team, but it's my flawed team, and I'm riding with the Falcons. It's absolutely fair.
Find me a team that's not flawed in this league, especially five games in. I don't know. The one in Philadelphia is still in my mind. And this, don't get me wrong, I'm just being the contrarian here. Sure. Okay?
Sure.
So I'll say foul because to me, the one in Philadelphia unlocked the understanding of how to win and how to take someone else's mistake and capitalize off of it. And that is what you've done the last 2 weeks. You've taken mistakes by other teams and you've capitalized off those. And that taught this team how to win to me.
No wrong answers there, man. Go ahead.
All right, let's start with this one next. This is the one I teased. This game goes into the category of instant classic. I mean, just the back and forth, the dramatic change at the end when you think you're going to lose and then you snatch the victory out of the jaws of defeat. So, fair foul, this game goes into the category of instant classic.
I try not to say an instant classic is any game that comes down to last minute because that's too easy. And that's honestly a lot of games in the NFL. But here's why I think it's an instant classic. The amount of story, like I can't even process all of the stories in my brain that came from the game last night. I'm thinking about the decision to throw the slant in the middle of the field, the incredible job clocking it in 12 seconds, some of the plays you were made, also some of the bad stuff, the Darnell Mooney drop, the three and out after the turnover. All those things combined, Squid, are what make this an instant classic last night. Absolutely fair.
Yeah, it is absolutely in the vault of Falcons-Tampa Bay or Atlanta-Tampa Bay games, Falcons-Bucks games. What made it a classic to me was the fact that it felt like two heavyweight fighters going just back and forth. Like the Falcons win round one, the Bucks win round two, and then they stole round three. They just went back and forth for 12. Hell, that was one of those old school Muhammad Ali Foreman fights that went 15 rounds. You know, back when the championships fights went 15 rounds, it felt like that at the end. So I think for that reason that there was no. It was never a point where either team was out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Bo, I'm glad you used the term in your answer there, heavyweight fighters, because that brings me to my next fair or foul question. Fair or foul, after last night's game, it changed the way you think what you think the Falcons' potential is. So, fair or foul, last night's game changed what you think the Falcons' potential is. Do you think they can maybe do more now? And obviously the potential was high, at least around here, for what the Falcons could do. But has, after last night's game, fair foul, has your what you think the Falcons' potential is?
Yeah, sure. Fair. It raises my expectations of what the potential could be because you literally played defensively the exact game you've played all year. You might have been a little bit worse in the red zone and give up more points. But you played the exact game because you allowed 160 yards, which is about on average, and you allowed under 200 yards passing, which is about, hold on, check stats. On average, you're allowing 191 per game before this one.
Yeah.
But your offense did something they haven't done all year. So, yes, the potential has gone up because your offensive – you were offensively unlocked.
I'll be the contrarian on this one. How about this? I already expected that we would see this year, so I don't know if it unlocks anything. And also, I have to say this. I'm still a little bit frustrated with the run game last night. All right, so I want to see a little bit more. I'm just being the contrarian, though. It's like Super Bowl or bust! Super Bowl or bust! I still have questions, but like he said just a minute ago, what team doesn't at this point in the season? I love this team, man. I'm going to ride with them for the rest of this year, obviously.
And speaking of flaws, I do want to get to this one. I got a couple more for you guys before we wrap up here.
Rapid fire.
Fair or foul? After last night's game, are you are worried about the defense? Now, as far as points given up, they've gone backwards every single week. They've given up more and more points as the weeks have gone up. So fair or foul, you are worried about the Falcons' defense moving forward.
I don't think you can watch that game last night and not be because they've been so good through the first 4 weeks. Then you kind of saw what happened last night. I also think your depth got tested when Antonio Hamilton had to step in. Clark Phillips, you see a couple of busts on the back end when D. Alford goes out. J.D. Bertrand had his ups and downs. So, yeah, I think if I'm being honest, I probably developed a few issues last night.
I'm definitely worried about this run defense. It's fair. The pass defense, again, was a lot like we've seen all year. There's just not a lot of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's growing on trees out there. I mean, that's a dynamic wide receiver duo, and you're missing a stud in your secondary and D. Alford, to Mike's point. The run defense is and has and continues to be something that is very worrisome for me. And so that point, until we have a game where we look like we're competent in the run defense, I'm going to be worried. I know it's somewhat the style that you're playing, but yes, I'm worried about the defense in some ways.
All right, last one. Let's end on a positive note, shall
we? Let's go.
Fair or foul, this was the most exciting Falcons game since they moved into Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Wow.
I'm going to not play revisionist history. There was a Thursday night in 2017.
Trying to rehash.
When Sean Payton comes in here, and he's a complete jackass on the sidelines. He makes a choke sign to our guy, Devontae Freeman. And the game was not, I don't believe, as high scoring and not as wild in overtime, but it was very much like this. And Drew Brees is driving the field. And in the very end zone that Kadarius Hodge scores his game-winning touchdown, Drew Brees throws the ball, and Deion Jones goes airborne and catches it and falls to the ground. And I think his butt landed in the end zone. That was as exciting. That was a very exciting game as well. I don't want to compare them, but that game is up there for me.
Yeah. It's fair. It absolutely was. So I'll finish on that as well. Well done, Dylon. Well done. That's Fair Foul Friday. Hey, look, man, the morning shift will roll on. Me and Bo, two dogs off the leash this morning, slept on the floor last night, man, and neither one of us barely slept a wink. We were so excited. It's a Falcons Friday. It's a Falcons Victory Friday. Coming up on the other side, you will get our picks, our locks of the week. You don't want to miss that. It's coming up on the other side. It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Bo hanging out with you on this beautiful Falcons Victory Friday, your first place Atlanta Falcons. We are the home of the first place Atlanta Falcons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bo and I on the air mattresses last night, and I didn't
separate,
know.
Separate
yeah,
air mattresses.
Although
Rob Tribble did come
somebody
in.
Somebody out there was saying, pause. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Rob Tribble did come into my office last night. I hadn't closed the door yet, and he just laid down on the air mattress with me. So I just did what felt natural. I just put my arm around him and
were you the big spoon? Were you the big spoon or the little spoon?
I was like, he kind of laid down like he was my girl, and I just kind of put my arm around him and said, hey, buddy, how about that win?
Yo, big pause, man. Big pause. We're going to get to our locks of the week.
Get up quickly.
Locks of the week here in just a second. You'll want to continue that because obviously we'll have Man Up Monday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Man, we're still feeling the vibes from the prime time win.
As we should be, Mike.
It was last night, man. I'm with you. No, it feels extremely good. Sandy just walked in a minute ago. She's feeling the vibes too. I think the whole city waking up this morning is feeling those good vibes from last night.
You know, you're supposed to enjoy wins. And after Sunday, where we squeaked by. It wasn't our best performance offensively, but our defense and our special teams played well. And I felt like there was no enjoyment of the win. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't talked to a person yet that ain't enjoying the hell out of what happened last night. And I am leading the charge.
We'll talk to Dave Archer coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll also have a Life of Squid. And I know you're going to talk about a little bit of the Matty Ice night that was. It was great to catch up with him, see him in the building. Saw Roddy, saw buddy Brian Finneran, saw Todd McClure, saw a bunch of those guys that were in the building last night to celebrate Matt Ryan, we'll talk about that too.
How about Tony Gonzalez?
Tony G. I didn't even think about that.
The Ring of Honor ceremony. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool since he was in town, and he and Matt obviously, he was very, very important to Matt Ryan in his early stages of his career. Him and Roddy White as well.
Yeah, definitely was. And also, speaking of which, John Abraham up in the press box last night with our friend Maria Martin. He continues to do good work as well. So a lot of fun, man, just all the way around. I'm so glad the Falcons were able to get that win last night, especially in the fashion they did with the offensive explosion. Kirk Cousins goes over 500 yards passing, sets a franchise record, breaking the record of one Matt Ryan. All right, man, we got to get to our locks of the week. I don't even know where to start with these, to be honest with you, because we've got, as always, we've got our mandatory college game, our mandatory NFL game, then both of us select our locks of the weeks. We've been on a little bit of a roll lately, and I don't want to jinx it. I'm finally over 500 after going 3-1 last week. I'm at 10-9, and you are at
8-11.
8-11.
Hold on. 5-3 over my last 2 weeks. Okay. So there's making a charge. I'm gonna be honest with you before we get to this. I have no freaking clue. I have no freaking clue.
I haven't even decided.
One of the games Dylan gave us because I'm like, blank if I know.
Well, which one of you not decided? Because I'm going to make you go first on that one, so you don't. So you don't hear mine. Let's start with the NFL, man. Let's go to the one right at the top of the list right now. Buffalo Bills at Houston Texans is our mandatory NFL pick of the week. Buffalo a one-point favorite in that one on the road against a good Houston Texans squad. The over-under, 47.5. You want me to go first? I'll go first if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills, -1 on the road. And everything in me kind of tells me to lean Houston. The fact that Buffalo is a good football team, but Houston will be at home in this one. I just feel like this is a little bit of a get-back game for Buffalo. Buffalo is one of my Super Bowl favorites when you look at this season, especially when you see how that division's kind of shaped up. I love what Houston has going on, but to me, Buffalo just one step ahead. That one-point line, very, very fishy, but it just means that Buffalo has to go out and win, and I think they will this weekend.
I have zero freaking clue. This is the game I could not decide. In fact,
good job by Dylon picking this one as the
Can
mandatory.
I tell you something? I was on Buffalo. Then I was at the Texans. Yeah. I was back on Buffalo, and I said, now I'm going to the Texans. Then you just picked Buffalo, and I said, I like that. And now I'm back on the Texans in my head. I talked myself out of it as you continued to talk.
Yeah. Always tough, man.
I think you're right, though. That's what hurts, and I don't gain anything by going with you, but I'm going to go with Buffalo as well. I just have no clue. But I think Josh Allen is tired of hearing that he's not one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, and there's few people out there that have said it. I think he is. But then again, D'Amico Ryans knows how to – he's one of the best defensive minds in this game. And how do I go against him at home but Buffalo?
Yeah, I was going to say, which way are you going to – talk yourself back out of it? Look, let's stick with the NFL and let's go ahead and go to our locks. If you're good with that, you can go first or I can go first. It doesn't matter. But let's stick with the NFL and go ahead and knock out our locks for NFL games this weekend.
The traveling to London, Jets coming off a very poor offensive showing. But I think Denver is very good defensively. I think Denver has figured out, and forgive me, I do not know their DC off the top of my head, but he's doing a phenomenal job at coming up with game plans to get after teams and create pressure. The Vikings are one of the hottest offenses in the league. They are up 28-0 on Green Bay early in Green Bay. The over is 40.5. The over-under is 40.5, I should say. Yep. Give me the over all day long. They're going to show the folks over across the pond how to play offense.
We've been talking about this Falcons game, obviously off and on all day, or basically on. It hasn't left our mind last night. But I tweeted it out before the game. I was like, the unders are 13-0, and the last 13 Falcons primetime literally hit the over by halftime. I was like, that ain't good. Hopefully nobody listened to that. The over had also hit in 12 of the last 16 Falcons bus games. Here's the way I'm going to go as far as my NFL lot. How about the Miami versus New England under 36.5?
I looked at this and I was scared away from it.
Golly, both of those offenses are bad. I know 36.5 is a low number, and it seems like a trap in a number of ways. You just know that Mike McDaniel is going to have somewhat of a better game plan this week. And I know that New England's got a scrappy defense, though. I'm going to say the under of the Miami-New England game, 36.5 this weekend.
I think you're so good on that. I looked at it, and I scared myself because I told you I feel like I know everything about what happened last night. I am so lost on everything else. And in this game, I looked at me, and I said, don't do it. It's a trap.
Yeah.
So I didn't go. That's a good call.
Trap.
I think you have money there.
All right, let's pivot to our college picks. I'll make you go first on this one so you don't steal my pick again. How about this one? Number 9, Missouri, heading down to College Station. Number 25, Texas A&M. That line, Texas A&M, favored at home by 2.5 points. It sounds like Vegas thinks that home crowd is going to have something to do with it. Also, the over-under at 48.5. Bo, you'll go first on this one.
I think Vegas is on to something. The first game of the year, Notre Dame kind of pushed around. I felt Texas A&M in the trenches,
yeah.
And they did not do that the last few games I've seen from A&M. Mike Elko, I think is a very good coach. Their quarterback situation is weird because the redshirt freshman played his butt off against Florida. When I saw that game, of course, anybody can score on Florida. That's why UCF's a favorite right now against them and Gainesville. Missouri has not passed the eye test for me yet, and I've put money on them before this year. I'm not this week. Give me A&M and covering the 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to ride along with you. I think this is a prove-it game for Mike Elko. When you look at the 2.5 points, and to me, just say the rankings first when you say the line. Number 9, Missouri, is an underdog to number 25, Texas A&M. There's a reason that Vegas makes it look that way. Texas A&M, minus the 2.5, they get it done this weekend. All right, real quick, let's go to our college locks of the week. I can go first right here, Bo. Looking at the over of Ole Miss versus South Carolina. I actually think it's a sneaky good game.
I almost took South Carolina because they're 9-point underdogs at home where they play their butts off under Beamer, Shane.
They'll be 8-point underdogs or 9-point whatever line you have it at home, which I think is really interesting to look at considering what happened to Ole Miss a week ago against Kentucky. But I think both these offenses will have a lot of success this weekend. 53.5 to me, while it looks a little bit large, 31-28 gets you home by plenty. All right, and I'm looking at a score like that as far as this game goes. I'll take the Ole Miss South Carolina over for my college lock of the week.
You want me to do it? You want me to take the bait?
Are you going
to
fall in another trap, dude?
I'm taking
just
the bait.
Just because Oklahoma saved you last week with the pick six with 4 minutes left in the game doesn't mean you can continue to fall into traps.
I'm taking the bait.
No!
Tennessee's going on the road.
Ah!
At Arkansas.
No!
My buddy Phil, if he's listening, that's his place. I think he's in the dentist chair right now. He told me he was listening earlier. He's an Arkansas grad. I'm taking Tennessee to cover the 13.5. I'm telling you, their defense is better than I thought. Their offense is phenomenal. Nico
Iamaliava.
He's so good. I don't have to say his last name. You know who I'm talking about. He's going to go in there and roll.
Yeah.
They get it done.
Yes.
They get the bait.
Yeah.
Making you money.
I don't think it's a trap, man. I don't think it's a bad pick. I think Tennessee is, they have their issues. They have their ups and downs. But Arkansas is a flawed football team as well. I think Tennessee is probably the hardest game left. I know on Alabama's schedule and possibly even on Georgia's schedule, and I say that knowing that Texas is coming up as well.
Boy, so. Kyle Pitts played good last night. I'm sorry. I got the game plan around. He just played so – I'm so proud of that guy.
Me too, baby. The Falcons talk will continue on the other side of the break. That is when we will welcome in Dave Archer.
The quarterback.
The radio analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. It's a Victory Friday, a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, home of the Atlanta Falcons. And –
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the home of your first place. Let me say that again. The home of your first place, Atlanta Falcons, after the massive W last night that they were able to pull off. Kirk Cousins going for 509 through the air last night, a franchise record, beating one Matt Ryan on the night that Matt Ryan was put into the Ring of Honor. And now we will welcome in former Falcon quarterback and analyst for the Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer. Dave, let's start with that. I don't know if you saw anything coverage-wise or anything that defense was doing differently, but I'll say this. Kirk Cousins said it to you in his post-game interview. He used the word anticipation. I think that was one of the biggest things that stood out to me last night about that passing game.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mike. His trust in guys, I think that you and I have discussed this a great deal. It's a kind of an elusive target, if you will, no pun intended, for quarterbacks as you begin to try to anticipate throws, trust that guys are going to be in the position they're going to be in. For them to be to declare what they're doing, it's clear that you can see what they're doing, those kind of things. That's all something that you have to grow. It's organically growing on this football team, and it certainly sprouted last night, no question about it. And Kirk was brilliant last night. He was seeing things. In all honesty, I thought Baker Mayfield was really good. He just didn't get to touch the football, and we knew a little bit of how that felt the first four games of the year. We only run 51 plays. Atlanta runs 81 plays last night. We talked about it in the pregame, didn't we? One of the things you and I were talking about was, you got to run plays. You know, you got to have some experience. You got to be out there long enough to make some of these things happen. And they did all of that. Ran 81 plays last night. It's the first time they've had two receivers go for over 100 yards since September 13, 2020. Got to go all the way back to the Seattle game. They opened the year and lost to Seattle. And Russell Wilson, Ryan threw for 420. And you had receivers Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Russell Gage all went for over 100 yards in that game. So it's been a long time since they've had that kind of production.
Yeah, Arch, I think you're not getting credit for the – you're the real hero in last night's game. If you guys don't know, Arch had to, was made to stand during offensive possessions. And it worked out pretty well for us.
Did you have your lucky jock strap on too, Arch? I mean, sheesh.
Arch, the defense – I mean, I just had to check the final stat line where I thought Baker Mayfield – the way it felt to me, he threw for like 300 yards – and four touchdowns. He only threw for 180, which is in line with this defense. But let's go to the sequence, which is not getting a lot of talk because of how great the offense played and the way they win the game. But they get the turnover. Jesse Bates creates it as Tampa is trying to ice the game, and he maybe kick a field goal. And they do nothing. In fact, it's four and out. Oof. With an interception. And then talk about how this defense bowed up, and they force a three and out where they send Tampa backwards and out of field goal range.
Yeah, I thought there were a couple of really good late game third down, defensive performances. I thought when they got deep in Atlanta territory earlier on and Grady Jarrett made a tackle for a loss at about the 10 or 11 yard line and got him behind the chains, they subsequently picked up a 5 or 6 yard gain to get themselves inside the 10. And the David Onyemata came up with a sack deep in the red zone and forced a field goal. That was a sequence that happened in that second half as well, that I thought was part of what you're talking about. The defense, when you give up, 30 points in a game and they run for 160 yards, you start kind of having a bad taste in your mouth. But Bates makes the play to get the ball out, and then you get that defensive stand there where it looks like, you have to go for it. It's 4th and 15. Kirk tries to force the football up the field to Mooney. It's intercepted Levante David, and I think there were probably some people that were headed for the aisles at that point, turnstiles. But they did a really good job of shoving them back. They were fortunate. They got a penalty in there as well, but they shoved them out of field goal range. So there's no question that the defense deserves credit, and it seems weird on a night when you win 36-30 in overtime that you'd credit the defense, but there were moments in the game where they certainly provided an opportunity for this offense to get rolling.
Arch, I want to pivot a little bit. I want to talk about a guy that we've been pretty hard on because it just seemed like at times he was kind of checked out and just not able to get separation, and that's Kyle Pitts. Obviously, he comes alive, and I kind of mentioned this in postgame. I think this game was important in more ways than one. Not only do you get him some stats, but I think that you run the risk if you don't start getting him targets and catches that he just altogether checks out, right, as you move forward. Instead, last night, complete pivot, a 180. They get him involved. He has almost 100 yards receiving like you talked about. What did you see that was different for Kyle Pitts last night in this game plan for the Atlanta Falcons that allowed him to get those touches?
Mike, they got him the ball early. I don't know that there was anything necessarily different that they did. And obviously, he gets that stunning kind of punch to the gut for the Tampa Bay Bucks, where they try to come with zone pressure. And it's something they've done all year long. Todd Bowles is noted for coming for it with extra guys at your quarterback, 5, 6 guys. He'll rush four, and they won't be conventional guys. There'll be two guys off one side and two DBs coming off that side as well. So he really mixes up the rush, but they give zones away. They play a lot of zone blitz. They'll come with 5 or 6 players, and they'll give up areas. And they're thinking, okay, we're going to get home before you can get the ball out. And Kirk was so dialed in, he finds Kyle on that seam route early on, and that just seemed to shoot adrenaline into his system. And you hate to have it that way, that you need to get the player the ball early in the game. But Kyle just might be one of those guys you got to get going early. If you can get him the ball a couple times early in the game, because he was running with the football with some ferocity. That was some of the things. You remember, you and I stood there and watched him in training camp. You and I both watched him in training camp, and he was so aggressive in catching the ball. And Kirk was challenging, is that the best you can do? Is that the best route you can run? I thought they got back to some of that. And maybe Kyle heard some of the outside noise that he wasn't a very good player and that maybe he was just an average player. He was everything you wanted last night from him. He was running aggressively, catching the football. I thought that he was very – very demonstrative. That's the word that comes to mind for me. A very, very distinctive as to what he was going to do. And I thought it was because he got the ball early on. Now, hopefully that's not the starter that he needs to get him going every week, but it certainly was last night.
You already read my Twitter account. Arch.
Nobody reads your Twitter account.
Well, that's good. Let me tell you something. Last night, we've been talking about who's Cousins' go-to guy. And it looks like there's two of them. He was 21 of 29 last night for 259 yards and 3 touchdowns when targeting Mooney and London. But take me into that last drive. Was there something that he saw where it was a matchup thing? Because they run the ball to Algier on the final drive. You get a yard. And then it's London, London, and then Hodge comes in for London, and he goes right back to the same spot in the field. Almost, maybe it was the same route. You tell me they're different. You see that part more than I do when the way we both watch the games differently due to our job. Was that a matchup thing that he saw with a certain player, then he just wanted to expose it? Or what was going on with that? Because that was London's ball that Hodge caught.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, the first one obviously is a little bit different route. It's more of an in route, dig route. He's running, he gets up the field about 12 yards and breaks to the inside and makes the catch. The second one that he catches is a play where it's the same, it's exactly the same play that Hodge catches, just a stick route or a hitch route in the slot. He runs up at about 7 or 8 yards and hooks up in the zone. They're playing zone. They're trying to keep the ball in front of them at that point. You know, they realize that if they give up a field goal, they're going to get the ball back. They just don't want to give up a touchdown. And at that point, that was one of those deals where the offense was really humming, and they're just trying to hold onto the rope and get off the field. So they're willing to give up a 5 or 6 yard stick route and force you to third down and see if they can get off the field. But when London catches his second of those passes and the first of the kind of those little stick routes I'm talking about, he breaks a tackle and gets up the field. That's when he takes the shot to the ribs. It knocks him out of the game, knocks the air out of him. And so Kadarrell comes in. Kadarrell runs the same route. And again, all Kirk is doing is I got to get the ball out. You know, I get the ball out. Let me keep us in manageable third down situations. Let me continue to eat up yards, keep us in situations where we convert and stay on the field. And Kadarrell just makes a play. And Zion McCollum tries to strip the throw and tackle at the same time. He slips over the top. And Kadarrell just turns and there's nobody there. If you go back and you look at the play, Ray McCloud gets a block for him that really kind of frees him completely. It's just hustle, guys staying in the play. But go back and look at the play. Ray McCloud comes in from the other side of the field and gets just a piece of the safety, which provides that crease for Hodge to turn on the Jets and go win it.
Yeah, it's such a great call. Just enough to kind of reroute the safety coming from the other side of the field. Finishing up here with Dave Archer here on the morning shift. Arch, we're kind of up against it, but I want to keep the main thing, obviously talk about the big Falcons win, but I got to give you the floor a little bit to talk about what happened at halftime, and that's Matt Ryan going into the Ring of Honor. You obviously covered him for his entire career. You got a chance to visit with him last night. Just a special night for him and his family.
He's one of the all-time greats, and I hope that people realize, I appreciate it, Mike. Real quickly, I mean, you guys can go over the numbers, but 10th all-time in wins, 7th all-time in yards passing, 9th all-time in touchdown passes, and 6th all-time in game-winning drives. And well, how fitting was that for him to be in the building for a game-winning drive by Kirk Cousins? But everybody asked me, what was the biggest attribute or the main attribute that Matt Ryan brought to the table that you admire? His ability to lead, his ability to throw it in pressure. I said, just the guy that he was. He was an unbelievable teammate. And you know that, Mike. He was an unbelievable teammate, just a phenomenal guy to be around. And he was not going to be outworked. And he wasn't outworked. In fact, there weren't very many people that did as much as he could do.
Yeah, I love it. I told the story last night, Arch. I said, I had a few times that I got a chance to get beers with Matt. Never a time went by that he didn't offer to pay the tab, and I think that says a lot about what his character was.
There you go.
Was.
You love that guy picks up the tab. Bo, listen, pick up a tab from time to time.
I don't hear you. I think your phone's going out, Arch.
Bo's got an Irish goodbye and dine and dash on me, man. So appreciate you. Hey, Arch.
At this break, I want you to go read your Twitter account. Think about picking up a tab, okay?
Arch, man, enjoy the mini bye. Hopefully you get a chance to sit on the couch, drink a beer this weekend, and watch a little NFL football on Sunday, man. Thanks for hanging
out
with us.
You too, brother. Enjoyed sharing the airwaves with you last night. Man. Good job.
That's Dave Archer, Falcons radio analyst. Good stuff, man. We're still riding the wave. That is the Falcons' primetime victory last night on Thursday Night Football, man. So I could rehash that game with Arch 10 times over. No, we got to get to break. We'll get to a life of Squid on the other side, though. What do you got coming up, man?
But you know what's going to happen at some point this weekend. Him and I are going to have, like, I'm going to call him, hey, what'd you think about this? What'd you see there? What'd you 100%. See this? That's just how it always goes. We talked about Matt Ryan. He sat down with my guys, Wes and Arch, before the game, and you know what? I wanted to let you hear a little bit of that because I think we went through some really good memories. I still think Kirk Cousins was very rude last night, though, breaking his record.
It's a Falcons victory Friday, man. We're still riding the wave. Me and Bo going on about 2 hours of sleep on the air mattress here in the studio. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 92.9 A Game and
the Odyssey app. Woo!
Cousins to the line quickly. No change in personnel. Snap to him. Kirk looks. Throws to the left side. Mooney the catch. Darnell at the five. And Darnell a touchdown for the Falcons.
Thank God it's Friday.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your home of your first place. Atlanta Falcons. Man, it feels good to say. It's a Falcons victory Friday here. On the morning shift, Mike and Bo hanging out with you all morning. Somehow, after working all night last night and jumping on at 6 a.m., somehow we have reached our last segment. This show has flown by, and that's what happens when you're having fun, my man. Hopefully everybody out there in Atlanta feels the same way.
Yeah, I think they do. I've seen it just feels like we're all happy and we're enjoying this. Look, you only get 17 games a year that matter. You're only guaranteed 17 games a year. And a lot of, we have not won. We've won 21 out of the last 60 games.
Yeah.
21 and 30. Or that's six, is that, that's 51, right? I don't know. Math's hard. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, celebrate it. Enjoy it. That's what it's about, man. I mean, we've had two amazing wins at home against division rivals. You're the only undefeated team in the division.
Mm.
You're leading the division, and you go on the road next week at four. I think it's a 4:25 kick in Charlotte, and you play a team that's much improved. You get some much needed time off. Enjoy it. Feel good about yourself, but know that there's more challenges. You are 3-2, Mike, against teams that are a combined 14-7 in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure all of which have been predicted to go to the playoffs by multiple people, including the Super Bowl champion who you did lose to, but still.
Yeah, two things quickly. First of all, I just love how this team continues to evolve, especially on offense. They continue to do things differently. You've seen little strides here and there. And the second thing, my final takeaway, mentally, being able to unplug on a mini bye week. If you lose the game, you're going to go back, immediately start second-guessing, watching film. What could I have done? Darnell Mooney's in the dumps, about to drop, and everything else. Instead, you win. You can unplug a little bit. You're five games in. You're in first place, and you can hit the ground running in your preparation for Carolina next week, man.
Yeah, it's you know, kind of say something that I've noticed in being on the road with the team, being in the locker room after losses and wins, and – this team, I'm not going to sit here and go on some diatribe before we get Life is Good that this team is special and blah, 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 blah. But there is some camaraderie. Like, this team feels together as much as I've felt a team in a while. There's a real love for each other and a real,
I agree,
a pick-me-up kind of attitude. Like, the everybody wants to have a moment, right? And Darnell Mooney and Drake London were the dudes last night offensively for this team, both over 100 yards receiving with touchdowns. Drake is literally, that's his moment. And because he took a shot, looked like to the ribs, he came out and Kadarrell took his, that was his route, and kind of took his moment, but he didn't. Drake don't care none of that. He cares about winning, and hey, you know, I'm glad you had your moment. And yeah. Kadarrell needed that too. Like, it's just like,
you could see
how
that in the locker room afterwards, man. You could see in the locker room when Kadarrell comes in the locker room, you could see how happy they were. And to me, that tells you everything you need to know about Kadarrell Hodge.
It's really good to see.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. I'm about to go get me one of those cold beers this afternoon. I'm like, I'm trying to hit the gym real quick. I got all adrenaline. I'm going to go do some arms, man, make myself feel better about myself.
Well, listen, I'm going to have a few cold units this weekend because obviously we don't have to work on Sunday, and watching the NFL and college football and all the above, man, it's going to be a good one. Hopefully those Falcons players are doing the same thing.
Yeah, totally agree. And look, I tweeted out a picture last night. If you haven't seen it, go to @squibbly929. I said, hey, nothing to see here, just three legends talking some ball. And I have my guys, Wes Durham, the best play-by-play guy in the business, Dave Archer, best color analyst in the business, and Matt Ryan, the best to ever to line up and play the quarterback position and best Atlanta Falcon of all time, and newly inducted in the Ring of Honor. And it was cool to have him on pregame. I haven't seen Ryan since I haven't got to talk to him since he left here, so got a little moment with him. But, a lot of memories were created last night for some fans and some new Falcons, including Kirk Cousins, who's now playing the quarterback. But here was Matt with the guys talking about his best memory wearing the black and red?
I mean, it's so hard, you know, because there were so many different teammates, so many different players, so many different coaches, right? It's for me, it's always hard to just pick one of them. But if I had to, it's that NFC Championship game to close out the old Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
And to me, it was the craziest crowd I've ever played in front of, home, away, doesn't make a difference. That environment was second to none. The way we performed going against the Packers, who we had played against a ton, a ton against in meaningful games, in the playoffs, all those kind of things. That game was incredibly special. And
love to hear that from him, man. And obviously anybody who was in attendance that day continues to say the same things about that particular game, but he mentioned it. So many teammates, so many memories, so many moments, and I can't imagine trying to pick one out if I were him, but that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was a great crowd. That was one of my favorite quarterback scrambles of all time that he makes in that game, just because you could tell how bad he wanted it. And look, Michael Vick's scrambles are always going to be at the top, but that one, just because of how bad he wanted it, and it wasn't his thing.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about the honor it is to go into the ring of
honor.
It's going to happen tonight, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow and still, not think it's real. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. It just, my whole life has felt like that, like a bit of a fairy tale. You know, I always wanted it. I dreamed about it. I worked extremely hard for it. But I also never took it for granted while I was going through it. I knew how special it was and how much I loved what I was doing. And so a night like tonight, you know, it still doesn't feel real.
I can't even imagine, especially seeing a bunch of my old teammates on the stage with him. So cool, man. Such a cool moment.
At one point, he mentioned his dad and what his parents meant to him. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that don't act like they're grateful for where they're at, and they complain. And you don't think that the opportunity that they've been given in life. With Matt's not one of those guys.
No.
He is completely grateful of all of it. And it was an honor to cover him and travel and be a part of all of this, and I got to experience it. I know you played with him as well. Real quick, Mike, I want to tell you, don't forget, November 25th, Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, for Pets for Vets, second annual. Go to 929 The Game website, go to the event page, click on that tab, and you will see all the information to sign up. Sign up today is for a great cause, Pets for Vets.
There you have it, man. Love to hear it. We're still riding the wave here at 92.9 The Game. That's going to do it for us here on the morning shift. Coming up on the other side, we'll find out what Sandy and Steak have in store. It's a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons,
Falcons rise up.